So I believe the Lord wants to realign our hearts and re-envision us and bring His power through His Spirit. So I'm trusting we're gonna learn together with some scriptures. Amen? Is that good so far?
Yes.
Thank you. You guys are great. I would like for you to read with me, but actually I'm going to ask Ross or someone else he appoint to read in English because it's easier for you guys and even for me. The scripture in Exodus 36 from verse 1 to 7. And we're going to see through God's building the tabernacle what He intends for His people to be and to work and to do. So I'm trusting you're going to learn. The Bible says that everything that happened in Israel in the Old Testament is like an example for us to learn and to be as a church. So I'm trusting we're going to learn quite a few things here tonight. So Ross, can you read for me in English, please? That will save us some time.
Save us some time. So that's the NIV. I'm going to read the NIV version. You got the NIV, eh? So Bezalel, Oliab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of the constructing that the sanctuary are to do, constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oliab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of the constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work of the Lord commanded to be done, that the Lord commanded to be done." Until seven. Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work.
Amen. Thank you. It's we see here God is telling Moses and the people how to build the tabernacle, and they were doing it, and at a certain point in time, Moses received the information that they didn't need more offerings and the people had to stop doing it. And then they finished the tabernacle. And I want to unpack little things in the midst of this so we can understand. Here we come to the point where we see God's showing the plan of the tabernacle. And we must recall that since the Garden of Eden, the Lord always wants to inhabit, to live among His creation, mankind, woman. But because of sin, we fell apart from God, okay? And then creation became a place of rebel, violence, and because of sin. And mankind was enslaved because of sin. And then, since there, God started working with a people, a friend, Abraham, to bring His people so He could restore creation, a people for Him, a family for Him. But He said to Abraham that that wouldn't happen in his time. It would take 430 years before they could go to this new promised land or new place where God will be with them. And that's what happened. So the people of Israel, Joseph's sons, were there. It came the Easter pretty soon. And they were free by God's grace, by the Lamb of God. And then, is it fine? Okay. And then, so they were in a journey through the desert into the promised land. But in that journey, they receive a very troubling information. God, because God says to Moses, I am holy. I cannot go with you guys, otherwise all the people will perish. And we know what happened with quite a few people in the Old Testament that, you know, like put hand in God's glory and die. And so that was a trouble for, there was a problem here. But then God shows Moses that he always wanted to live in the midst of his people and to be able to be amongst them in the camp and with the tribes of Israel. They should build the tabernacle because through a mediation, the system of the mediation with the sacrifices and all the rites, is that right? They will be able to see God's glory, and God will travel amongst them. And that's why they received, Moses received the plant, the blueprint, the word in Portuguese, the blueprint, to build a tabernacle. And with all the measurements and all the sacrifices, all the laws, everything. And we know that all of this would point to Christ and what he would do in Easter with his sacrifice and resurrection. But that was God's showing Moses that the desire, the plan, the goal to be amongst his people was still in God's heart. So he gave all the instructions, and he built that. So the tabernacle was a place, again, like the Garden of Eden, where heaven and earth would meet. The presence of God and his holy presence would make his creation holy again and remove the sin and all the slavery. And that was his plan for us. So we see that in the tabernacle blueprint, everything was a sign or a picture of this heaven and earth meeting together. You see the cherubims, the pomegranates, the trees, and you know everything in the curtains and this kind of thing. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You follow me. Don't sleep, please. But the tabernacle, the glorious presence and the favor of God that, you know, do not share communion with sin will be living again by the provision of grace. And the restoration, the spiritual restoration by the mediation of one will be restored. So it will be the vehicle for God setting apart again his people, restoring the image in his people by what men and women were created, and to live in peace and harmony as the perfect Sabbath was in the garden. Okay? So it was more than a project of a building. It was much more. It was a place that would carry God's presence and would make his name and his grace, his provision, for salvation, know into all the nations where Israel would be. Amen? And that, at that point in time, was about, I would say, 3,500 years after the garden, maybe 105,000 after Abraham, is about that thing. So they've been waiting all this long so mankind could be reunited with God again. Can you imagine how long they wait and how much that project was a blessing and a privilege to be participant in? It's good, huh? Yeah. So God gave Moses this project, invited people to participate. And God's provision always goes ahead of his people. Always. And before they left Egypt, God said to his people, ask for all your masters, and I don't know, to give you treasures. And they had all of this. And they were traveling in the wilderness with that. And they would have like precious stones, golden, silver, linen, some cloths, special cloths, wood. And can you imagine you carry all of these things in a desert? What point does it make? It will become a burden for you. If you carry wood in a tent, you cannot make a shelf in a tent. You put in the cloth and what object you have for gold in a desert? What can you buy? All of those things. But the Lord wants to show them that these things that He provides for His people in advance, that we call riches, we will only become a true rich if it's applied for His purpose, for His project, for His glory, for His name. So it shows that the church, the group, the family project is better than yourself individually. And if it's not to carry His presence, His plan of restoration, sanctification, is not rich into heaven and earth. It might be rich here, but it only become a burden. What we value, what we pursue as a life project, if it's not aligned to this project of becoming the house of God, where to carry His presence, His glory, and make His name fame, but only exhaust you at the end of your life or whatever, if you seek for those things. It's nothing compared to His plan. Every time I see this, I remember something that happened to me, very terrible. Before becoming an elder full-time, I worked with insurance. And I worked with the biggest insurance company in Brazil, in São Paulo. And I was one of the managers. And they hire a special coach to come and give you training. And it was a lot of people in that company, in that training. And the guy that was facilitating that said, ask everybody, and we were sitting in a circle, what is your aim? What is your plan for life? And everybody starts sharing their dream. I want to be a millionaire before 40. I want a beach house and a boat and, a good retirement. I want this and this. And I don't even recall what my answer was, because it was so lame compared to the next one that was the last one that I remember a guy named Ayrton said, and he was a Christian. And even though I was born and raised as a Christian, I didn't follow the Lord. You know, I knew the stuff. I knew He was my Savior. But he wasn't the Lord of my life. And then at that point in time, when he was the last person to give the answer. He came and he simply said, in the midst of all that, good goals, millionaires goals, and you know what the world seeks for. He said, I seek to seek the glory of the Lord and to honor His name in my life. And that put all the other answers into the trash. And it's so easy for us to agree with this. But outside, what are we working for? What are we striving? What are desires? Is it to be the people that will bring God's restoration, salvation, the cure for the whole world as we believe we are, and to, you know, expand the kingdom and make His name famous, to bring His presence, His glory, or we are seeking this riches that the world offers us, but will only turn into a burden if not used for God's glory. So, I hope it makes sense. And you know what? You probably heard this a message or read that scripture many times, but I don't know if you paid attention to one little detail. That God didn't obligate the people to respond to him. Even though he gave the blueprint to Moses with all specific details, the measurements, the height, the depth, the weight, if it was gold, was silver, was linen, was wood, whatever. He gave everything very, very specific. What we read since the beginning of the construction of the tabernacle, and now at this text that we read, is very interesting. It said that God moved their hearts by the Spirit, and they willingly respond. Until the verse, can we project the verse 6 again? He says, no man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And they were restrained for bringing more. And we say, oh, that's awesome. But we must understand why that's awesome. Not because of they gave enough. It's because they understood the purpose, what was the privilege and the responsibility of building God's house, of being the vehicle for the healing, the restoration of creation to his glory. You know why? Because you remember there were 12 tribes. One of them was Levite, so 11. Okay, if you split Joseph's son into two, you got 12 again. So God could say, okay, for the tribe of Reuben, we're going to need 1 kilo of bronze, 2 kilos of silver, and 3 kilos of gold. For the land, 2,000 kids, because it was 6 tons of metal. I'm just saying, God could say to each tribe, you must give a number. But he didn't. Why? Why? Because he was waiting for a willingly response for his invitation. He was waiting for a love response from his people. He was willing for his people to understand the privilege they were called to be participant, of bringing God's pleasure, of glory, presence, restoration, of being now in the face of the one that is holy and being healed, not slavery anymore, and be free from everything, from the sin, from, He was waiting for the response of the people. That's why he didn't say, you give this amount, 10% or whatever. He was waiting for the response of a heart that wants a relationship with a Savior that understood the provision of grace. And that's what that people that respond understood. That's why Moses had to say, you are restrained. We have more than enough. You don't need your money. We know your heart now. And that's what Ross was telling you about alms and giving into the nations and sowing into the kingdom. We don't want your money, but God wants your heart. God wants your response. And you know that the tabernacle and everything, the sacrifices, the rites, was just a shadow and a picture of what would be the church. And Jesus said that he was building through his death and resurrection in the provision, perfect provision of grace, a bigger and better temple, but it's definitive, how you say? Forever. The last one, eternal. In each one of us together. And now not only the people of Israel, but from all tribes, tongues, all the creation, the new Israel of God, he was building a temple to inhabit and to show his glory and his grace and his mercy. And I love the scripture, if you can read with me in Hebrews chapter 9. I think we have that, yeah? That says that in this first tabernacle and the first covenant, that the holy, the high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year with the blood of the Lamb to ask for forgiveness, that was not perfect yet. And he says, the verse 8, the Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed. As long as the first tabernacle, this is that we are seeing, was still functioning. This is an illustration for us. And then on verse 11 and 12, I think you have that as well, says, but when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. That's what Christ did for us now. And this tabernacle now that is used to show, to reveal God's grace, presence, glory, mercy, is called church. And you know this by heart if you are part of 4:12. Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 11 says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are the people that now is called to build his tabernacle, not the old one, but this new one. From every tribe, tongue, and nation, hearts surrendered to Jesus, reconciled by the provision of grace, so they can become holy and reflect him and be healed, and to show that all the earth is his, as should be to inhabit with his people, and to make his name known and famous. Do you understand the privilege that is to be part of something that is healing and restoring creation, but most of all, the relationship with God and man? That's the only solution. It's not politics. It's not economics. It's not the health organization or health organization world. It's not. It's Jesus and his church living in bringing, carrying his presence and the gospel of salvation to all mankind. Say, you must surrender to the one that loved you first and sent his only son as the provision for your sin. Because we could never abide into his presence if it wasn't for Jesus. But because of him, now it's open. Now we can enter in. Now we can be free. Now we can be healed. Now we can be happy. Now we are truly rich by the riches of Christ. We're not controlled by money, by retirement projects or whatever. We're living for eternity. What a privilege. The Bible says that the prophets that lived in the past wanted to live here where you are now. Even the angels would like to be able to share the gospel, the goodness of Christ. But you are the one. But you must live for his glory. Understand that you are a priest whole nation to go before him, to learn from him, to receive healing, freedom, and then go and carry his presence and preach the gospel. Man, and then that's the privilege. Can you understand? Heaven and earth are now reconciled through Jesus in you, in your heart. When you go inside your room and you bow your knees and you pray, Abba, heaven and earth are together again. Because he sees you through the blood of the Lamb. And he reconciles all things to him. It's not a small thing, the fact that you can get into your room and pray, that you can come here and celebrate, that you can come before God and be accepted by his grace to be declared righteous, justified by his blood. It's not a small thing. As Ross was telling us, don't let your heart be calloused. Don't come here thinking it's a small thing. God is giving you the opportunity, the invitation, as he gave to the Israelites, to make his kingdom first, to carry his presence, to work with him and restore everything and make his name glorious and famous. Come on. Come on. And together, we are built together as this temple of God. We need more people. We need everybody. We need everyone. But how are we responding to the invitation of grace? The invitation of God. Which riches are you pursuing for your own life? I'm sure it will be a burden at the end of it if it was not put into the house of God, the plan of God. Because you can imagine now, when those that, when Moses went down from the mountain, from bringing God's presence with the blueprint of the tabernacle, used their resources to build the golden calf. Now seeing what was God's purpose, can you imagine the glory of that tabernacle through the desert, through the nations? There was nothing compared to that. And can you imagine how they fell in their heart, knowing that they used the riches that God gave them, the talents, to build a golden calf? That's what can happen to us if we are distracted. But if we are willingly working and serving, contributing for the kingdom, then we can see. Can you imagine the joy and happiness of those that got into the tabernacle? You see, that piece of linen, of cloth, I gave it. That gold and that bronze, I participate. Can you imagine how much more glorious it was for them? Understanding the purpose. That was not to build a building, but to being able to heal the relationship of mankind to God. How much worth can anything that you have produce compared to this? Can you imagine? But that's the joy. That's the joy. That's the joy our Lord Jesus had when the disciples came rejoicing and say, "How the demons are cast free, are being expelled, the people are being set free, and healing is happening, and people are surrendering themselves to the gospel." And the Lord rejoice with them and say, "This, all of this is good, but it's not still compared to the fact that your names are written in heaven. And one day, we're going to see His glory. You guys, I think, probably, it's a guess, okay? Please don't get offended. But I believe that in 412, as I know 412 Andrew for many years, you always saw in leaders, there's always changing of people in houses, and you might think, why that? Why don't keep here? Because Andrew in 412 understands the purpose of the church, to prepare the bride. And you guys can rejoice on that as well. Maybe Ross and Margot will be sent to Brazil, hopefully. I'll ask Andrew. And some of you guys. But you can rejoice on that. Because God is the one who provides another one. And when you send, He's going to raise more. Because Moses had to say, stop giving. They didn't become short of resources. But we are, our minds thinking in the worldly way. If we give, we're going to be short. No, sow into the kingdom and you're going to receive. Seek first the kingdom and everything will be added to you. So you guys can be rejoicing when you sow to other congregation here or to nations. You can rejoice when you give your money for apostolic giving. And yeah, and Ross, when we didn't, you know, ask for that, for the offering. And 412 has blessed us so much. And I want to give this offering that is given to the team that is going to Brazil, or to help more people to go to Brazil, or for the nations, you know, because God is being good to us. All right? But thank you for your investment in the kingdom and your offering. Okay? Thank you.
I haven't finished.
So I know this man. He's a very gracious and a very generous man. And I know he knows the principle of giving, but he hates receiving. And I know him, though, but I know what he's wants to do. He wants to invest in you because he wants to see a harvest of righteousness come through you and me, actually. So it's no small thing that he's doing, actually. It's no small thing that he's doing. I didn't speak to him about it. I know he gets uncomfortable when we talk about money because I know him well enough. But the reality is he wants to see you come into all that which God has called for you. It's powerful, eh? Sorry, I just...
Yes, that's true. And, you know, there's something that wasn't in my preaching, but when we started... And Ross mentioned about the Friday, what's the name? Palm Friday. No, what? Palm Sunday. Oh, thank you. You know, and it's really interesting. Why Jesus went to the temple? If you read in Mark chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 2, it says that the Lord, you know, would send his messenger ahead of him with a messenger, prepare the way of the Lord. And we know that he says that this was about John the Baptist. Yeah, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Then if you go to Isaiah 40, I believe verse 2 also, and through, the prophet says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she received from the Lord's hand double for the sins. And then it goes, the text saying about every valley will be restore, every mountain will be put down, the crooked will be, you know, that the verse. But the promise saying speak to Jerusalem that this is grace that arrived. Their sins has been forgotten. And that's what the messenger of the Lord prepared the way of the Lord would tell. And then if you go, please don't hate me, Malachi chapter 3. Probably verse 1 as well. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. So Malachi is the last prophet before John the Baptist and Jesus. So he's saying that the promise that the messenger would come and prepare the way with the message that all your sins are forgiven, Israel, would come. I will send him. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, who you desire, will come, say the Lord Almighty. He's saying that the Lord Jesus, the messenger of the covenant, the angel of the covenant, would come with the messenger of Isaiah saying, your sins are forgiven. That's why Jesus went to the temple to be received as the Messiah, as the angel they were long ago desiring. But they refuse. The leaders of the temple start questioning his authority. He went from there to Bethany and back 3 times, 3 days he did that. And then he said, this temple will no longer be standing. But it was just to fulfill the prophecy that he would build a new temple, you and myself, you and I. But that people of Israel rejected the Lord, the visitation of the Lord, and kept doing church. Didn't understand what he was bringing. Salvation, restoration, healing, communion, fellowship with God. Life! Are we understanding the time of our visitation? Are we understanding the purpose of being church? Of being of God's family and people? Oh, we are just gathering to sing songs, have coffee. So, thank you for telling me that today is Sunday that I didn't know. But we see, and I'm ending here, that the end of the tabernacle construction and the book of Exodus, the glory of God came. Because of the provision of grace, the mediation of the perfect one, the presence came, and people had to follow him. We are called now to follow Jesus and not rest or settle until we see his glorious presence again, fully complete, brighter than the sun, reflecting in all of us. So, but this is not an imposition, it's an invitation. If the Spirit of God is stirring your heart, respond it. Live with generosity. Put the kingdom first. Make everything to get the riches to the heavens, not to the earthly system. And I believe that was I had to share with you. I hope it makes sense. God bless you.
Powerful, eh? Sorry, don't you want to? Keys. So just as Ronaldo was sharing, I was, what stuck out for me is there is a call for us actually in this, and I asked myself a few questions as he was sharing. Are you being a priest for him, or a priest for you? And I think that's an important question to ask, because And Peter talks about us being a royal priesthood, living stones, being joined, built together, right? It's that tabernacle. And another question is, are you, I love this, are you building the calf or are you building the tabernacle? In your own life. In your own life, with what God has given you, are you building a golden calf or are you building His house? I have such a sense that we come to these moments, we come to church and we pray, Lord, help me to prosper instead of help me to be holy. Lord, help me to succeed instead of help me to surrender. Because when we really understand what Ronaldo was sharing, there is a privilege of being here, a privilege of coming together. And there's the bonus, the fruit of that is that God often sorts our problems out and fixes things along the way. But ultimately, we come here because He died on the cross and He made us righteous. Not because He's going to give me a house next to the beach or fix my problems. Because the reality is we make bad decisions and we get stuck sometimes with problems. And God, as we surrender our lives to Him, He will come into those moments and He's faithful and He's good. And His ways, they lead us. But ultimately, why do we come? Are we coming for Him to fix our problems? Or are we coming because He's good? Because the nature of God is good, because He's gracious, because He's kind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that You're good and You're graceful. Lord, that You say, how many times will You forgive us? And the Bible says, when your disciples ask You, You say 77 times 7. And that, what You're actually saying is as many times as we are truly sorry, we come to You truly repentant, we are broken, we do not want to be that which we are doing. We do not want to do that which we're doing or be that which we've been. You are gracious and kind to accept us, to draw us into Your kingdom, to walk with us, Lord Jesus. So Lord, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You, Jesus, that You are gracious and kind to us and that when we respond to You, You do not turn us away. So Holy Spirit, I ask that You would come right now. And even if there's any of those that maybe haven't responded, that haven't come to the front, that You would strengthen us by Your Spirit. Give us courage, Lord. I want to encourage you that if you did want to respond, maybe didn't want to come stand up front here, that you get hold of one of your leaders or just somebody sitting next to you, somebody maybe that brought you, and we can pray with you and walk this road with you as well. And Father, I thank You for tonight. I thank You that You're good and gracious and kind to us, Jesus. And You're always at work in us, always. You never stop working. Every moment of every day, You are at work in us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a people that build Your house. We'd be a people that build Your kingdom. We'd be a people that give ourselves to You, Lord, because we see You for who You are, Your kindness and Your goodness. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.